or clapped for recording. One of us has Sody Pop at the table.
I do have Sody Pop at the table.
once more, we're recording. Hello, my name is Paul Chapman.
No, I am not Paul Chapman.
None of us are, really.
I'm not Paul Chapman. I've never met Paul Chapman. Only one of us here has met Mr. Paul Chapman. Has had the honor of casting with him multiple times.
I am invincible!
Wait. Before we started recording, we were watching the compilation of Drake and the 99 Dragons.
Oh yeah, I was like, why are you referencing Drake and the... I have that... Yeah. Hey, listeners, if you ever wish for me to stream Drake and the 99 Dragons, you can easily buy me the PC Steam version.
We should absolutely... You should absolutely stream that game.
No, you shouldn't. Yeah, you really don't need to.
Have I become invincible? And then he jumps out the window and kills himself.
He jumps out the window and eats shit. Yeah.
Like, at the very least, with Drake and the 99 Dragons, Bree, it is funny bad.
Okay.
I like the part where the Mario... the Hotel Mario No shows up randomly. Like, it just sounds... No.
No. It's one of my favorite sound clips from Hotel Mario. Is just him being like, "No,
no,"
like it sounds like someone that is like baffled that you would even ask the question that you're asking. Just
what
like,
the fuck
no.
is wrong with you?
Also, Bridget, I already told these two, but another fucking bird crashed into the window today.
What do you mean another? What are you talking
about?
Oh,
wait, were you not here? Oh, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, that was, like, after.
So, earlier this month, a bird, like, flew into, like, the front window of the house, like, at such an angle that we could just see it happen. Like, we saw, yeah, just thunk. And, you know, we go out there, look around for it. There's no sign of the bird, so ostensibly it's fine. And then, again, while these two were grocery shopping, another bird flew into a different window. And this time I saw it happen. Like, out of my peripheral vision, I just see, like, a little, like, black spot pass by the window and just boonk, bounce off.
Poor little thing.
I remember when my mom was working at a hospital, one of the hospitals had like big glass like on the side, and like it would actually scare patients when the birds flied.
It's terrifying. Yeah. Like
the birds flied.
Like you are scared because of like sudden unidentifiable object just slammed into like a hard surface next to you, and then your brain puts together like, oh, that's a poor, dumb living creature that just smashed its body.
It mostly happened to me when I was like back when I used to drive, like, you know, when a pigeon hits the front of your car, you're like, oh shit, oh. But also, I like, because your brain is like, did I get in a collision? What did I hit? Why did something suddenly hit me? And, you know, your brain has to connect that it hit, like, a windshield and not your face. So you're about to be like, ah! But, like, the human brain wasn't made to detect whether or not there was a windshield in front of you. So, like, your evolutionary brain is like, what the fuck's happening?
Well,
it's crazy.
I mean, if you have a bald head, you know, birds will attack that, too.
Oh, hold on.
Prejudiced.
What do you mean?
I'm not prejudiced. I, like, look.
No, the birds.
The bird.
So quick to feel called out on that.
Continue your story.
Dad has been attacked by a bird because it just flew... Well, it's less attack, it just flew into his head.
Okay. There's a distinct difference there. That's happenstance.
Like, it's not like the bird is just like, bald, and then like goes in.
That man's bald, I gotta bully him.
Bald streamer.
Hey, Baldy, why are you so bald?
Monthly views connected by cast or crew, deciding the next film, that's the gist. put it on the list.
Anyways, hi everyone, and hey! Welcome to another episode of Put It On The List, the film movie club where every couple weeks we gather together to discuss a movie of one of ours choosing, and then the next time around, next person in the rotation has to connect their choice by either cast or crew. Last time I'll Put It On The List, Evie, you treated us to Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, which, great movie, fantastic movie, and my phone has basically just completely died, so I'm going to put it over here. And Bree connected us over to Jennifer's Body, which is also a wonderful film, it's quite I must say.
AKA The Ballad of Bimbo Baggins.
Are you talking about Fellowship of the Ring, or are you talking about Jennifer's Body?
You have to guess on that one.
Needy does go there and back again, there being an asylum.
Mental asylum, yeah.
I will say, it's been so long since I'd seen the film that I forgot that, like, she isn't a vampire, but that she is a succubus.
What is happening here?
But there's a lot of teeth and blood, to be fair.
Yeah, there truly is. That thing is fucking freaking out right now.
Yeah, your phone is not. It's
not okay.
She's just an eaten girl. She's not a vampire. She's just eaten.
Yeah, she got bitten. She didn't get turned fully into whatever. You know, I think it's implied it's supposed to be a succubi.
Yeah, because I feel like they bring that up.
Yeah.
When they're researching, like, what's going on with my friend?
What the fuck
what's
is
going
wrong
on with your
with
friend?
But it's just like, she's some sort of weird demon.
Yeah. However, before we get into all that, we didn't introduce ourselves. First person in the rotation, introduce yourself.
Hello, it's Bridget.
Hello, Bridget.
I'm Evie.
My name is Bree.
And I'm Jay. What's everyone been up to? I've basically not been up to shit, I gotta say. Like, it's been a slow couple of weeks for me in terms of doing stuff outside the podcast and work. Also, what the fuck is that image that I'm seeing behind me, behind Evie in the group chat?
What?
The thing you posted there. What is that berries and cream ass motherfucker?
He's the conductor from Thomas
you
the Tank.
You don't know the conductor from Thomas the Tank Engine?
No!
I gotta be honest.
You don't know George Carlin?
That's not George Carlin.
I know who George Carlin is.
That's just really not a great picture of him.
Yeah. I'm trying to read
that. That's Tetris the Grandmaster 4. The Dark Eye, I think, is that logo?
Yeah.
Why is it that places you could go to on a train are places you wouldn't want to visit in the first place?
Is he actually voiced by George Carlin, and that's why
I think I've heard that he is,
Bridget.
But I...
Well,
he was Mr. Conductor.
Yeah, so yeah. What happened was, they brought Thomas the Tank Engine over to the States. Like, there was, like, a rapper show around it that was, like, live action, Shining Time Station.
No, I see.
And there was, like, a little conductor man who magically would show up and, like, you know, hang out with the kids there. Okay. And that person was... at different times, both George Carlin and Ringo Starr.
Just interchangeably or depending on season?
I think it just depends on the season.
Oh, okay. Like,
I think after one or the other of them stopped doing it, and so they got a different person.
See, now if you're around railroad tracks and a man in a top hat tries to gather up children, you get them far away from that man. Different times.
Anyways, well, he's gathering up trains more than children, but...
It's a weird episode that we're spending the
Bridget
first 5 minutes.
Bridget fucking threw us off the rails immediately, so like, to speak.
It was fucked up because I'm looking at Evie to talk to you, and then just right behind you, I see him peeking around your shoulder.
So I have been centered in on working on art and stuff and getting things done and being real fucking wired because as the drug thing continues, I am continuing to take the herbal supplement. The herbal supplement, not the drug, that has basically been that CIA secret that makes you really good at focusing and basically cured my ADHD. I want you to imagine, like, Job, the guy from fucking Lawnmower Man, when he's walking around going, "Hey, Cyborg Man!" And then when he, like, turns around in the chair and he's like, "Hello there, how's it going?" That's the difference. That's what I'm feeling. I'm unstoppable now. And I've also been working on a VTuber for someone.
Smash cut to 5 months later and she's tweaking out in the corner from side effects on the medication that she...
I need my tea chemicals. Give me the mushrooms, man. No. It's one of those things where, like, some days I just won't even take it. I just use it like Adderall. I take it before I need to focus.
For sure.
I was able to read. If I want to read stuff, I can read now. Don't listen to doctors.
No. These opinions do not reflect the opinions of the podcast.
So it doesn't even reflect my opinion. It's really on this podcast. I'm doing a bit.
Head of the medical in the government.
Yeah, I was gonna say Bree's taking a sharp pivot into like into fucking right wing politics.
No, yeah, I'm trying to do the bit from that movie rating show. What the fuck's
that? Oh, on cinema?
On cinema at the cinema. This is my that character.
You are trying to be the Tim Heidecker character.
Tim Heidecker, that's his name.
Soon Bree will be talking about how seed oils are affecting the virality of our nation's youth.
And... I mean, they are not, but... Again, it's a bit. I'm doing a bit.
My nephew
dig too greedily and too deep on the bit. You know what you awake by trying to satire these things.
If you have Adderall gate kept from you by a shitty doctor, take like a blend of lion's mane and L-theanine with a little bit of coffee.
Go to your parents' medicine cabinet.
These views do not reflect the opinions of the president.
My opinion is not been evaluated by the FDA.
This is such a fucked up way to start this episode.
Rancid so far. Oh, Bridget, you said you sounded like you were doing a thing. What were you saying?
Oh, I was gonna say today my niece was over, and so she was watching a show called Kiff, which I believe is a Disney show, and I was very thrown off by one of the characters just being voiced by Tim Heidecker.
Oh,
I like looked at the screen. I'm like, what the fuck? What is going on?
What is he doing here? I mean, he is also just an actor.
Yeah,
it's kind of the thing with Tim Heidecker. Oh my god, this phone is busted. Like, I got my reference pulled up for one of my choices, but like, it is not working right now.
May I recommend the phone I'm using? I won't do it on here because we're not being paid to.
Boy, howdy, if I had the money to buy a new phone, I sure would.
I was actually shown something really cool. You can, like, slap a battery on here that's magnetic and it just charges it wirelessly. It's really cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of phones like that.
I didn't know what that was for. Now I do.
Wow, incredible. Modern technology.
Amazing. It's really great. Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I remember, like, when we first heard about, like, wireless charging, and it was like 5 years ago. It was like, oh, all right, Rockefeller, you with your billion-dollar phone. Suck a dick. Now I have this. And I'm like, oh, cool. I can just do that now. I remember hearing about that in the fancy picture shows.
Bree's so susceptible to propaganda.
Aren't we all?
I mean,
we all are.
Yeah.
It's just very funny how quickly your opinion changes on it.
No, it wasn't an opinion. It was inaccessible at the time.
For sure. Anyways, Evie, what have you been up to?
I took my cat to get shaved. That sounds more severe than it was. I took him to there's a groomer in the city, and I took him there, and he had a very nice little spa day.
Oh.
It's so funny.
The resplendent gentleman.
He's such a fluffy little guy normally, but they gave him a lion cut, and he looks ridiculous.
Ah!
He's so, so cute. Tiny.
He has a mane.
That was the thing that was shocking about it, is seeing him and just be like, he's so small without his hair.
He's a little guy.
So,
like, he's already small with all the hair that he has, but he shrinks like to 2/3 of his size.
Giving him the rat tail was doing him dirty. It's really
cute. It's supposed to be a lion's tail. They have the little tuft at the end.
Yeah,
a rat tail is flesh
is like just very thin.
Yeah, if they just shaved it all off, then yeah.
Okay, I forgot about the tip, but yeah, no, it's just the tip. But no, yeah, it's a really cute look.
Yeah, it's adorable. Everyone,
Evie, I need you to do me a favor. Yeah. I need you to minimize your Discord window so I stop seeing the Mr. Conductor peeking over your.
He's looking up at you like, no bitches.
Like, that's the thing, is I'm trying to look at Evie and engage in conversation, and I keep seeing that fucking man just hanging
out. It's just Black Books. There was a little man in his hair. What?
Okay. Anyways. Aside from getting Ziggy groomed, yes. What else have you been up to?
I needed to give an update on everyone's favorite fifth or sixth co-host of the podcast.
Depending on if you're ranking Bisky above that on any given day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it could go either way. I don't know. I've just been working. That's been pretty good. I finished Power Wash Simulator the other day.
Oh, nice.
You already burned through it, huh?
Yeah, well, it's you know, there's like 38 jobs in total, and you know, you work through those on a steady clip, and you know, you get there eventually.
It was a real wash. She just powered through it.
Yeah, that was pretty good. we went. I recently bought Killswitch for the original Xbox.
Honestly, before this podcast, I was thinking, like, I don't know when Bridget's going to get on the horn. Maybe I should boot that up and, like, just play a little bit of Killswitch.
And also, just, like, honestly, I've been too loose with my game spending recently. Because, like, I got that. I got Fire Emblem Three Hopes for the Switch. I got the Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 on Steam or on sale.
I was meaning to ask about that. I keep forgetting to ask you. I looked at it and was like, Evie, are you going to do it?
Am I going to play? Yes. I don't buy games I don't intend to play. Whether or not I actually play it, that's a different matter.
Can't wait.
Like, I intend to play.
I can't wait to get the, like, daily updates from you, like, you have for, like, your Trails games, just as you go through Kingdom Hearts, being like, okay, so I got to this thing.
Well, I played Kingdom Hearts before, both my and two. Oh, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just excited to revisit it.
I played everyone.
I know you did.
Yeah. That's
sadly.
Good job.
Everyone!
I've only played the important ones. One, two, and three.
No. Yep.
Yep.
There are four important ones if you're, like, doing straight mainline.
You only need one through three, and you're good.
No,
I never played it. Yeah, they made me play through one, and I only
played one through three, and I enjoyed my time with the Kingdom Hearts series.
Do you know who any of those characters are?
Kinda.
My strategy is I'm going to play one and two, and then I'm going to give all of them a college try, and then tap out when I feel bored.
That was my experience with college too. But
the best one is Birth by Sleep, which is the one that Jay won't play for some reason.
I love Kingdom Hearts 2. That is mine personally. That game's very good.
But does that game have Mark Hamill and Leonard Nimoy? I think not.
Listen, I don't need the star power of the voice of like particular actors in it. I need my dumb Final Fantasy and Disney crosser. I need Goofy getting killed with a stone being thrown at his head.
Did you say
as
the
he like
darkness?
Mr. President gets down?
There are a lot of like actors in Kingdom Hearts.
Oh sure,
like, Malcolm McDowell's in that game.
I'm just saying that, like, that's not the thing that's at the forefront of my brain when I'm thinking about Kingdom Hearts. I'm thinking about, like, the real meat and potatoes of what's in those games.
I'm thinking about Donald Duck singing Simple and Clean.
I'm thinking about the Atlantis That's level right. 2, where the combat was so bad in Kingdom Hearts 1 that they were like, just like what if we just made it into a single one?
That's right. Kingdom Hearts 2 has Zach Braff.
I need to make it clear. You, when it was re-released in HD, you were playing that, and I was like, I knew nothing about Kingdom Hearts, but I was like, okay, yeah, it's from your childhood, cool. I came home from work one day when I was, like, driving for Uber. I came home, and you were at the, like, playing the sing-along underwater level, and I was like, are you winning us? Cool game you got there.
That's the worst part of Kingdom Hearts yeah. 2. Anyways, we got derailed by Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah. Yes, we did. So yeah, I picked up that, and it's just like, I need to stop buying video games, because Unbeatable is coming out, and because I was a Kickstarter backer, I'm just going to get that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is coming.
And I do need to pick up Of the Devil, because I want to...
Episode 2, specifically.
Well, I also need to get the first one.
I see.
Yeah, and I need to, like, get through all of those, so I'm caught up. That's about it. I also replaced the battery in my 3DS yesterday. That was very fun.
Hell yeah.
Turns out, it is, in fact, very
it's
easy.
It's very easy. Like, nice. if you got a spudger... And like a tiny Phillips head screwdriver.
question from the audience. Yes. I'm raising my hand.
Yeah.
What's a spudger?
A spudger. It's like a little tiny. It's like a little tiny wedge that you use to like crack open. Like you would otherwise use it for stuff like separating Lego blocks that are
One of those.
Can I just say, as someone who didn't know that by its name, that's immediately what I assumed it was.
Yeah.
Like that's well so named. Perfectly named. That just immediately made a picture in my brain. I'm like, oh, it's probably that.
Just made me think of Splooge from the Koala Show.
The Splooge means a lot of things.
None of those words are in the Bible, Bridget.
It's a duck. It's a duck named Splooge. Don't be mean to him.
We don't know the show you're talking about. Anyways.
So I've been tooling around with that as well. So.
Right. For sure. Yeah. But, the thing for me is most of my free time outside of work, lately has just been Strafed At.
Yeah.
That fucking game is so good.
It looks fun.
If you can hear the sound of our voices, you should just download and try Strafed At.
Yeah.
Because it's really good.
It's really, really fun. It's really cool to just walk up to your friends with a pistol and both of you just start point-blank shooting each other in the face.
Anyway, what Strafed At is a like, fast-paced, arena shooter.
Yeah.
With a very,
It's very jank.
It's very jank. You would maybe call it a Euro jank kind of game.
Yeah. Nice. Eastern Euros specifically. Yes.
And so it's just there's never more than four players. Mm-hmm. It's very it is arena shooter.
Yeah.
And matches are best of three essentially, and there's 500 levels, and that makes sense because you burn through levels 5 minutes at a time, basically. Yeah.
When we're talking arcade, we mean you get a grenade launcher and it goes dunk, dunk, dunk,
dunk, dunk. Unread Quake Faction 2K4, dog bark.
Bisky the dog barked at something.
Yeah, barking at something. Huh. But yeah, we talked about last time, so I don't want to devote too much time to it again. But yeah,
you're still enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean that game's great. That game is really fucking great. There's Fisky still barking at something. There's new Elden Ring DLC new Nightreign DLC.
I'm gonna check on the puppy situation.
Okay, for sure. I mean, we're gonna hop into it in a second here.
No, I know.
I guess
that's what the editing's for.
In the meantime.
Well, do you want to say
it's the even minute?
What I've been up to?
I mean, yeah, sure. You can tell us
what
you've been
up to. What Bridget was up to.
What's up?
Packing.
You what?
Packing.
Oh, packing. Yay! Yeah. Pumping my fists excitedly.
Yeah.
Girl's gonna be moved out here soon.
I've also been playing Super Mario Galaxy 2. You've heard of this Mario?
I have heard about Mario and his second galaxy that he got.
Mario!
How's that game?
It's fun. I never played it before. Played the first galaxy, but now Yoshi P. Koopalingus is here to help the fun.
Have you ever performed Koopalingus?
What does Koopalingus partail?
That's his last
really
name.
Really cleaning out a shell with your tongue. Like getting in there.
Yoshi has all sorts of powers. Like he can inflate himself just like a balloon.
Fetishes, got it.
Just like Lanky Kong?
Yeah, just like Lanky Kong. Or Mario. Mario was the original inflator.
That's true. Super Mario World, you get that weird balloon power. Yeah, and you go like...
He's an
inflation. I feel like that's an accurate representation of what he does. This is such a weird episode. This feels like the most bantery, like, opening.
We gotta get into it.
I have to say...
Yeah,
the music, you know, it's orchestral, it's nice, whatever.
I saw you post about this.
The flower theme sounds like clown farts in my ear. It is bad.
Hold on. It's time for a live reaction to the Mario Galaxy 2 Fire Flower theme.
You're probably not gonna think it's as bad, but I hate it.
Woo, 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 woo!
I think it's that sound effect that really takes it over the edge.
It sucks.
Yeah, the little woo, 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 woo. That's a little.
It doesn't start out as bad, but then it starts building up.
Yeah, then it ramps up.
Then it goes clown penis, yeah.
I guess part of the reason I'm okay with this episode very much being off the rails, because, like, I don't know how much I can actually get out of talking about Jennifer's Body. I have, like, one or two talking points, and I'm kind of like, I mean, it's good.
I mean, there are little things, but, like, it's so perfect, you don't really have to say much. It is just... There are things to say.
Anyways.
It's just a very enjoyable watch, but yeah.
Before that, we do have one question from social media, which whoever can hear me, put it on the list, bsky.social, wifecityproductions on youtube.com, patreon.com/wifecity. I've retooled the Patreon now. You can follow us on there. And if you would like to, give us a dollar. I've changed it to just be one tier. Just you
one
give
tier
us
by a dollar. For a dollar.
Yeah. Like, maybe if we ever make enough money off of this, I will be like, okay, let's add tiers to this. But for the time being, I'm just like, just give us, if you want to give us money, you can give us money. We appreciate it. But anywhere major podcasts are sold, email at wifecitygaming@gmail.com. No emails this week. Please, share us with your friends. We love feedback.
Maybe next week we'll have two
questions. I say in the most unemotional way imaginable.
We love
metrics.
We love engagement.
Constructive criticism.
Feel free to respond to our most popular episode.
Parasocial relations. What's up?
Feel free to respond to our most popular episode.
Yeah, the Uma Musume episode that has 8,000 views on YouTube. God. And, like...
What side are you? Team A or Team Nay?
Because anyways, horses. We have a question on B-Sky from Owen, who gives us a two-part question.
We love Owen.
I think we go round robin on this. Sure. Part one is, what's the biggest thing you can imagine? Bree?
I did Salvia once, and I'm pretty sure I saw the 10th dimension and was able to perceive every universe that my consciousness exists in a connection between.
So that's the biggest thing that you can imagine?
Yeah.
Okay. Evie?
Yeah, I guess the universe is the biggest thing I can imagine.
Okay.
Like, I know that it's not the only universe out there or whatever, but, like, my imagination stops working past that point.
Bridget, biggest thing that you can imagine.
Tengen Toppa Gurren Lagann.
You mean the big robot at the end of that series?
The big robot that can literally, like, dodge galaxies.
I guess that's probably about where it is for me, too, or the universe. Part two to the question is that thing bigger than the apology that Hollywood owes Megan Fox? Almost certainly not, unless the thing you imagined was the apology that Hollywood owes Megan Fox, but slightly bigger.
I think only slightly more than the 10th dimensional view of every perceivable dimension. It's a little bigger than that.
Like, yeah. Here's the thing with Megan Fox as, like, a movie star. It's like, I'm very unfamiliar with her outside of, like, this movie and being in the Transformers movies. Like, that's basically my only connection to her in cinema. So I genuinely have no idea, like, if she is, like, just very screwed over by the system.
It was like, I should have looked this up because I knew that it was a thing we should probably talk about. But it was like, Michael Bay was a huge creep to her on the set of the Transformers
movie. Oh, I see.
And it just, like, it was, she was stuck in a position where, like, because she was very much pigeonholed.
Yeah.
As, like,
sexy lady.
As sexy lady.
Yeah, sexy lady! Let's go!
It's kind of about.
Yes. That sucks. Like we will definitely get into it, but, like, Megan Fox in this movie is...
She's great.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's fucking great in this movie.
Goals. I mean...
But that is the only question we really have from social media on this one, which
Already.
Is part of why I was stretching a bit in the beginning.
I'm very curious at which part of her is the goals.
Yeah.
Mostly the teeth.
Yeah.
I want to have the giant demon head.
I'm not curious because I know exactly what the goals are that Bree sees in her.
Oh, well, there's a movie you might like. It's called Wicked City. No, absolutely not. Never watch that, Bree.
All right.
Anyways, Bree, take us through a short run through of Jennifer's Body and what that movie is.
What if you, let's say you are a pretty average looking girl, right? But you're going to school and you happen to be, like, real good, like, they were roommates, like, real good friends with a girl who's pretty darn slamming. Because, like, you growing up, you two were the best of friends and you have that unbroken bond. And then some crazy freaking shit happens when a band comes to town that your cool hot friend really likes. And then something leads to her becoming a demon. And it's...
It's not even so much that she really likes the band. She really wants to have sex with one of the guys from the band.
Yeah.
is the thing that she wants in that situation. Oh my god. I don't even know where to start with this movie.
Really, it kind of begins with, like, you know, I mean, first off, like, you know, she's, of course, in the mental hospital. They call her a kicker.
You gotta say, it's not... The person that is in the mental hospital.
It's not Jennifer, it's her friend.
Yes.
It's labeled a kicker, as we see when she kicks the teeth out of a woman's mouth after being told that she needs to eat more, and which she felt was being sedated by, like, the pills and the activity and everything.
Sure.
And it's just like, you know, oh, I wasn't always this fucking crazy because just a bunch of shit happened. And that's when we go through this story where it's like, okay, you know, just her and her friend, normal people, just normal girls in school.
You're really dragging this out for
I don't really know where to steer it. Like, it's a weird narrative.
Okay. I mean, it's not that weird. It's pretty straightforward. Basically, like, Needy, who is our main character that we are following, is, like, your standard, like, nerd girl in high school. She just so happens to have been, like, childhood friends with kind of, like, the bombshell girl in high school, Jennifer.
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer, like, basically, there's a dynamic between the two where Jennifer is always kind of, like, dragging Needy along with things that she wants to do.
Yeah.
And she drags her to this show. The two of them go to it. Things go awry at the show, and Jennifer effectively gets abducted by the band.
Yeah, it's basically, like, made to drink and put in their, like, van.
Yeah, and, you know, with that kind of setup, you figure, like, oh god, they are going to assault this, you know, sexually assault this woman. And, you know, Jennifer comes back, like, sneaks into Needy's home and looks real fucked up. And that narrative continues to play in your head of, like, oh god, like, what the fuck did they do to her?
Yeah, she basically crawls in, is like eating things out of her fridge like an animal, and just vomits up ferrofluid needles.
Yeah. And what we end up discovering is that essentially Jennifer has been possessed by a succubus and is now like just feasting on all of the boys at school.
Yeah, it's very like quickly and lightly touched on early on that they live in kind of a nothing town, that the only thing they know about is like scientists have put like weird things into this odd water vortex.
The devil's kettle.
The devil's kettle. There's like a little water vortex that they just like, it all leads into a hole. They don't know where it goes.
What does the shitty band keep calling the that like that thing? It's
Devil's Lake.
Devil's Lake. Yes.
Oh yeah, they keep like
they keep missaying it even when they're getting like interviewed on the radio after the tragedy that happens. They're like, you know, the people of Devil's Lake, and it's just like,
and they're all like, these guys are fucking heroes. Needy, why are you calling these guys creeps? They
okay.
We need them.
That is the rough summary of what the movie is about.
Uh-huh.
However, you alluded to it early on, but like basically right off the bat, this movie shows its hand as being like a piece of queer cinema, because like it, one of the first things we see once we get like to the start of what the story actually is Needy watching like Jennifer like
do her flag dance.
Yes, exactly. And she's like lovingly like staring at her and clapping, and someone behind her says like, god, you're such a fucking lesbo.
Yeah.
We're friends. And like over the course of the movie, that like continues to kind of be like pulled away of just like, no, you
love her.
You are in some way or another like a closet case, because Needy also has a boyfriend who is like the most milquetoast high school boy imaginable.
He's a very good boy. His mother would be proud.
The first shot you see of him is he is in the drum line at like the school band, and he's wearing a fucking fedora with a bowl cut, like the nerdiest 2008 motherfucker you could see.
It's okay, he gets a Zac Efron haircut later, which at that time was a big deal. So
does he? He basically has the same haircut all the way through.
It was not a bowl cut.
It wasn't a bowl cut.
Yeah.
Oh, it is just
that
like,
shit looks like a bowl cut.
You know, Justin Bieber sort of.
Yeah, I guess that's closer to that. Yeah.
Situation. Okay, helmet hair is the better word.
Sure. But very just. Yeah, this is a guy. You know.
However, when I first watched this movie, I hyper-focused in on, you know, the queer side of it, because obviously that's like, that is the thing that is most striking to see in really any movie that is about, like, a woman's sexuality, is be like, oh, this is actually, you know, a queer film, and not just about, like, women's relationship to men. It's also about women's relationship with
especially
other
women. Especially about, like, teenagers.
Totally. However, the thing that struck me more so with this movie is how much of a piece of post 9/11 like commentary this film is, because what happened, like the big tragedy that happens that kind of like really kicks everything off, is Jennifer takes Needy to see this like shitty indie alt band called Low Shoulder that like is from the big city and is just coming out to the sticks. So she's like, yeah, I really want to see them, like the lead guy is like really cute. So they go to this shitty bar called Melody Lane, and they're watching the show, and the guys are immediately fucking creeps
to Jennifer.
And then Needy hears them having a conversation like behind Jennifer's back later, just talking about how they're like, no, yeah, I'm pretty sure she's like a virgin. This is why we come out to small towns like this, is so we can get girls like her.
Yeah.
And it's just fucking disgusting.
Yes.
And then eventually what happens is during their show, some unfortunate electrical thing goes wrong and the building burns down, killing most of the people in, or at least like a good deal of the people in the barn. Or in the bar.
Like, I don't think they ever put an actual number to it, but it's something that, like, it kills a lot of people.
Yeah, because specifically it's based on, like, a real, like,
real fire.
Like that.
Mm-hmm. An incident, it was at a nightclub called The Station. Where the band Great White was playing, and, you know, the place was packed.
Yeah.
And they had some pyro that went off, and it caught something on fire, and then the whole place burned down, and a bunch of people died.
Yeah, exactly. And similarly, you know, whole bunch of people die. We see, like, people getting crushed under, like, you know, the roof coming down. Mm. We see people, like, running out of the building on
fire. People getting stepped on.
Yeah, getting trampled.
Yeah. But, you know, thankfully, Jennifer and Needy managed to get out of the building, but Jennifer is basically catatonic at this point, like, from shell shock of seeing that happen. And the band also, unfortunately, happened to survive, and they're like, oh, hey, that shit's crazy, right? Hey, you should come with us to our shady van.
Mm-hmm.
They basically just sweep her up, shove her in the back of the van, and drive off into the night. And Needy's just like, well, shit. I don't know what happened to her.
I think I know why the fire happened.
Why do you think the fire happened?
It's because the left tower drink was a little bit lower, so the plane didn't hit the...
Okay, so this is where the commentary on 9/11 starts, because literally they are in this bar and they are serving commemorative, like,
red,
9/11...
Red, white, and blue, like, double shot
red,
glasses.
Blue shots.
That Jennifer makes sure to point out, like, if you don't drink it quick, it just gets kind of brown.
Yeah.
In there.
As with all layer drinks, yeah.
But, like, yeah, it starts there, where it's just like, oh, okay, this is about the way that, like, we as a country responded to the tragedy of 9/11. Like, especially with Jennifer and how she immediately responds after getting out of the bar, where she's gone.
Yeah.
Like, she's not mentally there at all. Like, there are so many people that, like, after 9/11 happened, they just...
catatonic.
Were basically catatonic as people. However, the thing that makes it so interesting is when Jennifer comes back later, she is very flippant about all of the death and the tragedy.
Oh, yeah.
Because at a certain point, like, she says, like, did any of us even know the people that died in the bar?
Yeah.
And someone has to say, you were fucking one of the guys. Chris Pratt, who was there for like 5 seconds and died, like, you were having...
Didn't he die?
I think he died. He doesn't.
Yeah.
I want to say that
Southern Country
Chris Pratt
came on down from the parlor into the movie.
Because
for
I
a
think
bit.
She
I
mentions
think,
later that she is fucking one of the cadets, referring to Chris Pratt.
But I think specifically, like, Chris Pratt was friends with the guy that's her first victim. The, like, no?
There's another football guy that was there.
Mm.
And he was the
guy.
Though I will say, like, Chris Pratt, I don't believe him. I don't believe his acting when he's in, like, you know, like, oh, I'm in Jurassic Park, I'm Chris Pratt. Oh, but no, he plays, he fits in the role of being a narc.
As being a dipshit cadet.
Yeah, a junior cadet for a small town cop.
I feel like that is the most true Chris Pratt.
Yeah, that is the most key.
Everything else, that's the artifice.
Of course.
But yeah, okay, that kind of trips up a little bit, but basically, still regardless, like, the fact that, like, her response after coming back is just very kind of like, it didn't really matter that much. People being like, we can't let the fire win, and her being like, I think it already did.
Yeah.
Like, it already did what it set out to do as a fire, and, like, it points to, like, the way that, like, I feel like at the very least everyone here, like, kind of related to that tragedy, at the very least after a certain amount of time, where like, it happened at the end of the day. Like, I didn't know anyone that was, you know, affected by it. So, like, technically, it didn't really leave anything lasting upon me.
It didn't affect me when it was happening. It affected the Lion King too.
There is a bit where the teacher played by J.K. Simmons talks about how, like, 7 students were killed and, like, a handful of parents or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, the Spanish teacher.
Yes.
So, like, presumably people did, like, know people who were in the fire or, yes, like, who died because of the fire. But, like, the way that that sort of grief is then commodified by the shitty band.
Yes. Specifically afterwards, you are hearing like radio interviews where they're talking about like how strong the people of Devil's Lake are.
And the teacher mentions like they're going to give this meager percentage of the sales of the hit that they wrote to help benefit
the trees.
I like, and of course, you know, and you know, of course, why am I doing this with the name of the other girl?
Needy
is sitting in class hearing this going, what about the rest of the percentage of that? Like, that they are just squandering while this is going on. And the girl who sits next to her is just like, they're heroes.
Yeah, you shouldn't be a girl called her a lesbian.
Yeah, you're being a bitch about this. Which, we need them.
Yeah, it's like, I guess I talk about the 9/11 stuff because that, like, that unlocked the time frame for me, like snapped me back into like that mind state of the time, because we kind of like scoffed when it came up in the movie, but like the band was talking about how they had like a MySpace page and stuff that, and you know, in our day and age we can like we reactively will like scoff at that and be like, whatever, that's dated, it doesn't matter. But like, no, when you are actually in there in that moment, like, no, that was the way that the youth were consuming culture at the time, was through MySpace
and relating to each other as well.
Exactly.
I really do miss getting to put like custom background HTML and random videos from Apollo 440 on my page to let people know what I'm all about. But you know, Facebook came and ruined it and said, "Hey, why don't you get on this thing where all your racist fucking family live?"
Okay, and that's a complete tirade from what we're actually talking about.
MySpace was good.
I don't know if MySpace was good.
He got a hand it to him.
It was better, but it wasn't good.
It was better. Anyway,
this is besides
it's
the point.
So bad.
Like, we're supposed to be like locked into the time frame that we're talking about.
Bridget,
here,
you were gonna say something.
Yeah. Well, I think you were specifically just saying that you didn't relate to like the MySpace side of things.
Well, yeah, I didn't use the internet. So
what?
Wait, what? In 2008.
How do you become you if you weren't on the internet?
Oh,
you...
in 2008. Like a little.
What?
I
what
had no friends, and I spent all my time on MySpace. What do
There's
you mean?
There's no way. There's no way in 2008 you were only using the internet a little.
Oh wait, 2000. Okay, it would have been like 2006 when I started using the internet more.
Then. Yeah, exactly. Like, this is a movie that takes place in like the year that it comes out.
Yeah,
like more or less. Like,
well, it is like, it is kind of like mid to late 2000s.
Sure, yeah. but it is in that time frame. At
yeah,
the
it's
very
the same
least.
Time frame as Persona 4, which also has a MySpace joke in it.
I don't even remember that. We can't keep getting sidetracked because we're having a hard enough time.
Phones peaked at the sidekick, and that's all I'm going to say.
Stop!
Now.
Stop!
Stop this.
It peaked at side talking. What are you talking
stop.
About?
Shut up!
Damn. We're getting in the zone. We're getting in the zone.
No, you're not. You're talking about shit beyond like the actual topic that we're talking about.
That's how you know that they got Jay as just like, shut up! Stop talking about this shit! Quit!
But, like, the thing that I was trying to talk about in regards to the band is that also, like, this soundtrack for this movie is fucking littered with, like, mid to late 2000s like indie alt rock bands that like made their fucking heyday off of like MySpace or maybe MTV2 at like most. And like to have to have what is essentially the, like, objectively evil, like, party in this movie be those kinds of motherfuckers is very funny. Like, that... And that, like, also locked me into that time. Plus, just, like, talking about how much that, like, wave of, like, rock bands, like, just kind of preyed on, like, essentially the next wave of, like, adolescent girls.
Yeah.
Because, like, you have that in with, like, boy bands and stuff like that in the late 90s, early 2000s. But, like, the next thing was, like, scene, emo, indie alt rock stuff. Like, that was, like, that next thing where, like, just these girls, like, hounding over these guys.
Oh, yeah.
There are already examples of dudes, like, in that industry who took advantage of it. I'm sure there's plenty of others that just have probably not been reported on in that respect. But, like, it feels very reflective of that reality of the time.
Fun fact, the song New Perspective by Panic at the Disco that's in the soundtrack for it, like, that was... The video for that was just clips of the movie. It was an ad for the movie.
Sure. Well, I mean... Nah, I don't want to say anything about Brendan Urie and my suspicions, but you can guess what my suspicions about someone like Brendan Urie is.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
But yeah. What are you going to say?
Yeah, there's a whole thing where the way that the community in general kind of deals with the aftermath of the fire is just like, it's reflective of... like then the national kind of like tenor after 9/11 and that it just sort of like adopts this sort of like posture of like resiliency and like, you know, we're gonna get together and we're gonna pull through, while just like obviously bad actors like are just kind of like using it to exploit people and like kind of murder people for their own gain.
Yeah,
like exactly. It's a pretty striking like kind of like
dichotomy going on.
Yeah, facet of the movie that I think is like really
murder people specifically. Well, murdering people because they looked up something on the internet.
Well, it's not just they looked up something on the internet. They are explicitly occultists. Like they are Satanists. Like trying to sacrifice a virgin. That ends up being the reason why they're having that conversation about whether or not Jennifer was a virgin, because they were thinking about fucking stabbing her to death with a knife.
Yeah.
So like they
the devil's cuddle.
Yeah.
Like all of the bands that really made it, but you know, obviously the two bands that they're clearly based off of, like these guys, like that's how they did it, was they
basically
did a pact with the devil. So we need to kill this one.
What we're saying is that Low Shoulder was definitely on the Epstein flight list.
Oh yeah, yeah, they definitely played at the island. And like a fun thing about this movie is that it's unclear as to whether like the ritual actually worked for them, because like obviously like their career kind of takes off in the aftermath of it, but that could just as easily be just them like,
pure luck of
yeah,
the situation.
Pure luck and like exploiting the conditions that they find themselves in.
Right.
While like it definitely went wrong in the sense that like Jennifer ends up with a demon inside of her.
Like that ends up being the catch that Needy finds when she like starts looking into this, because essentially while Jennifer is like going around slowly like just picking off boys in the high school one by one, Needy has like been running into her and seeing her as like she's becoming more monstrous, as like, oh, I'm pretty sure my friend is possessed by a demon of some sort. Yeah.
So no one believes her.
And no one believes her.
Yeah, so she looks into and she finds out like, oh, okay, turns out that if you try to sacrifice a virgin, but that girl is not actually a virgin like
not
you
pure.
Thought,
yeah.
The demon that you were trying to appeal will like permanently like, you know,
take
possess
over their body.
Yes.
And yeah,
but going back to like specifically like the posturing, like the the ways that this relates to, like, American tragedy specifically. An interesting thing to see in some of the other reviews I would see is, like, describing it as, like, post-Columbine.
Mm.
Because, like, I could definitely get how you get that, because it's centered around high school students. Yeah, like, yeah. It makes sense.
There weren't a lot of high school students in the Twin Towers, so you could also kind of make that, like, you know, these are people we knew in the halls. They're gone now, you know?
Like, it makes more sense to draw those two connections.
Sure.
But, like, the one that, like, once you start thinking about the exact time period and the way that the characters in this movie respond to it, like, it makes way more sense as, like, post 9/11 in particular.
I mean, they especially the, like, profiteering and shit.
They literally make reference to 9/11. I feel like the, like, clashing
drops Operation Enduring Freedom.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The way that, like, the different, like, grieving kind of from, like, the adults versus the grieving of, like, their peers and the, like, kind of clash with one another. Like, you have that great scene where, like, the scene kid, like, gets ate by Jennifer and, like, his friends are at the funeral, and they're all, like, emo goth kids who are, like, waxing poetic about, like,
about how he's flying around in the firmament.
Yes, and meanwhile, his mom is across from him and is just like, shut the fuck up. My son is not flying in the firmament. He's 6 feet under fucking ground right now.
When they found him, they said he looked like lasagna with teeth.
Yeah.
And now, yeah, he's just 6 feet in the fucking ground. I have the monopoly on grieving.
Yeah, and it's just like, well, no,
you don't have the monopoly.
Yeah, that's not
also,
how this shit works.
Fucking bless those kids for them to believe it that hard that they're at a funeral and
Hell yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Their grieving is just as fucking genuine as the mother's. It's just that, like, the mother feels offended by it because they're not grieving in the way that she thinks they should be grieving.
Yeah.
Which is a very post 9/11 way of, like, of viewing those things.
Indeed.
But yeah, that's like the biggest thing that I took away from this movie was that whole side of things. Like, there's other things that I really appreciated on the second rewatch, which is the sex scene with Meaty and her boyfriend.
Oh my god.
Where, like, it's interspersed with that scene and the scene where Jennifer is, you know, taking out the emo kid, Colin. And, you know, they keep cutting back and forth, and, like, Meaty in the moment is, like, realizing, like, what's happening here. She's, like, seeing visions of, like, the other dead kids at the school. And, like, she's, like, screaming in more of, like, an emotional agony at, like, the realization of this. Meanwhile, her boyfriend is porking her and, like, just thinking, like, oh, yeah, I'm doing such a good job.
I'm really slamming it.
And when he, like, when he finally notices that something's wrong, he's just like,
Am I too big?
I got these at the store. It's supposed to feel good for her.
Oh, my God.
I do love the boyfriend character. He's just such a dipshit.
Yes, he has no sex appeal. He's just a very good son. He's just I'm so proud of my little boy.
Like, he is the perfect kind of character for a closet lesbian to feel comp towards. Just oh yeah, this guy, he's very average, seems nice enough, you know, that this seems like someone that I can settle for, you know?
Yeah. He's not gonna make too much of a fuss when I spend all my time with my hot friend instead of him.
Oh god, I'm trying to think of, like, where there's the, what's the name of Patrick's voice actor? I always
Bill Fagerbakke.
Oh my god.
The first kid that we see die as a result of Jennifer is, like, this fucking, the most thumb, like, football jock imaginable.
Also, now that we're bringing that up, I need to mention one of the top three fucking scenes in this movie. Drone shot to the football player. Just long zoom into him as he's standing
just
there morose.
1,000-mile stare on that fucking kid. It's so
losing
funny.
His friend off the team. Just like,
Like, yeah, he wasn't even there, but like losing his friend like is just like so devastating to him. And he's just standing in the middle of the football field, staring in the middle of it.
Filmographers will be picking apart this zoom in like for years. My God,
that whole sequence is good because you know Jennifer pulls him into the woods, and you know they think they're gonna have sexy times, and like as they are like unrobing, like all of the forest creatures are like gathering around them, and Bree, you're making a joke about like some Snow White shit, and it's like, no, that guy is about to die, and they're like, oh boy, we get the scraps.
Like, they know.
Like, even vegetarians were like eating his body, or like something like a deer, which typically is not gonna be
not gonna eat meat.
Satanic deer.
So you have, I assume you have a list of top three scenes from the movie.
Yeah, I will list them as we run into them. Actually, you know what? One happened earlier, so I do need to mention it. The other one is just like, I love the scene where, like, you know, as they're talking about how, like, everyone's grieving, but Jennifer seems to be doing fine in all of this. She's, like, walking down this dark blue desaturated hall where everyone is morose, and she's just beaming.
Yes.
It's,
yeah. Well, that's,
like, so...
That's part of the succubi thing that we haven't mentioned is, like, she makes a point to tell Amidi that whenever she's full, she's, like, she feels and looks better than she ever has in her life. And, like, literally that is what is happening. Anytime she's eating a boy, it literally causes, like, a glow-up on her. And when she doesn't, she's, like, got dark rings under her eyes. She's, like, having to, like, pick at her skin and stuff like that. Like, just getting... Not... The joke the movie makes later is just, like... She, have you noticed that she looks like so much uglier? Like,
like
lately?
For her.
And
like,
the boyfriend is like, what do you mean? And she's just like, yeah, for her. I mean, I don't really know that there's much else that I, this might be the actual shortest episode, because I don't know if I have much else to talk about, at least.
I think Amanda Seyfried as Needy is really fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she does a great job, like, basically putting, like, Megan Fox is, like, the star as Jennifer.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But she, like, puts the movie on her back. I do like when Needy finally decides to kill Jennifer.
That's a great scene.
They have like a back and forth as they're fighting. Jennifer's just like, "Oh, you bought the weapon that you're gonna kill me with from a Home Depot? That's so butch."
Oh yeah, she just has a switchblade.
Yeah, it's a box cutter.
Yeah, it's just a fucking box cutter. I mean, yeah, there's I guess on other like queer pointing moments in the movies, like
they do make out.
That's the thing that I was going to talk about, is like that's kind of the point at which Jennifer finally reveals what happened exactly. But I don't know.
And there's this whole thing where like from that scene you can maybe get the idea that Jennifer is like not she's just like trying to like squash the beef with Needy a little bit, where she's just like, hey, I'm just letting you know what's going on. But then, like, she specifically targets, like, the emo kid and, like, targets Needy's boyfriend, Chip. Like, it's clear that, like,
Jennifer's... She's eliminating the competition, effectively.
Yeah, like, where it's never explicitly said, but she's targeting the guys around Needy.
Yes, exactly. And, like, you even get, like, flashbacks of the two of them as kids, and they're, like, playing house with one another.
Yeah.
Like, they would play boyfriend and girlfriend with each other. And it's like, these fucking girls were so gay.
Like, the only way she gets the up on her, like, when they're fighting and floating around in her bedroom, where in the scene where she has to kill her, is she, like, rips off her, like, little friendship necklace. And like, she just de-elevates and falls down onto the bed from that. And then she just stabs her right through the fucking heart. It's like, oh man, oh, it's cinema. We used to make movies.
I mean, it's a great moment. I mean, I think every moment that there is a reprieve of Through the Trees so funny, because that is the song that Low Shoulder plays at the Melody Lane concert.
Yeah.
And like, it just for some reason, like, becomes like the anthem of like grieving in this city for that tragedy,
which is fucking weird.
Yeah, like,
you would think that no one would ever want to hear that ever again.
Well, I mean, again, the 9/11 comparison. That's why this movie comes out like the perfect time, because it is just separated.
It's just
enough.
Far enough that it sort of reflects that moment in a way that you can look at it and be like, that was weird.
Yeah, where were you when Melody Lane burned down?
Yeah, we were making like commemorative things for like this fucking tragedy that happened.
Don't forget to get this minted coin with these buildings.
We changed the name of French fries to Freedom Fries. That was a real thing that happened in American history. I'm sorry,
France didn't even do anything.
Well, that's the issue, is they didn't agree with us.
Yeah, they didn't sign on you know, the president's warmonger.
Ah, boo.
Yes. I'm sorry, Bridget. I was yelling over you. What were you saying?
Hooters remembers.
Yeah, exactly. Like, just this disgusting fucking exploitation of this thing that happened to real people in the world.
Yeah, and like the fact that it's like they're clearly like holding on to it like months later.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's not the sort of thing where like you would think that they would want to kind of move past it and maybe not like make it the centerpiece of like their high school dance or whatever.
But no, they
not
do that.
The world we live in.
And then at that dance, the band plays a different song, which when you get the reveal of like the sacrifice that they like that they ritualistically did with Jennifer, the fucking singer who is basically. He's played by Adam Brody, and he is more or less just doing like a perfect like Brandon Flowers from The Killers like impersonation, like from costume to design to like mannerisms on the stage. Like, he is that dude.
He says he wants the band to be as big as Maroon 5.
Oh my god, right?
Yeah.
But the detail that struck me is he says like, oh, we're gonna, I know, we'll write a song for you after you go. Like,
while they're planning to kill her, they tell her, oh, don't worry, we'll write a song about you.
And there's, like, a fucked up gag where, like, before they kill her, they start singing, like, Jenny, Jesse's Girl or
whatever. Jenny 86753.
Yeah, they start singing that. And as soon as they get to the drop, they start, like, stabbing her. But anyways, you get to the school dance, and the new song that they're playing is all about, like, how this person is gone, but we're still here. Like, just really, like,
rubbing it in.
Not just rubbing it in, but pointing to, like, the self-centered nature that, like, so many artists who, like, were really capitalizing on, like, that 9/11 fever of the time, like, approach things with, where it was just like, no, you know, all these people, they're dead, but, you know, we're still here. We're still, like, persevering amongst all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, for all of the indie rock stuff, like, this movie reminded me so much of, like, the wave of post 9/11 like country music that was just like, have you forgotten?
Yeah, where were you when Melody Lane burned down? That's what I'm saying. Like, it really does have that about it.
It does. I don't know how much more I have to really rattle on about personally. Does anyone else have other things they really want to touch on?
You know, it's kind of really fucked up what happens to the foreign exchange student.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
The actual first victim, as it turned out.
You know, if I want to put on my, like, really pretentious, like, fucking analysis hat, you could basically say, like, how reflective that is of the way that, you know, people of color or, like,
foreign people.
Not even just foreign people, but, like, literally people living in foreign lands were just kind of, you know, off-screen, like, just fucking killed by the American power structure.
Well, I think I think you could read that element into it, but also I do think it is just, like, I think that is a bad thing about this movie, how that character is, like,
sure,
the only brown character in the movie, basically.
Yeah.
And also does not have a line. Does yeah. not ever speak.
Yeah, he literally, Jennifer is, like, asking him questions, and he's
he just, like, shakes his head.
Yes, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's, it is, I think that is a, that is filmmaking in 2009. In a way that sucks.
Yeah. That's fair.
Whether it was intentional or not, you can read a lot of meaning into it.
There's that, and of course there's slurs.
Well, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, again, it's 2008, baby.
We're on MySpace, we're teenagers, so all we have is being edgy to carve out who we are as a human being.
We watch Congo. That don't have slurs.
I know. I don't want to make excuses.
Congo
first.
Isn't about teenagers in school, though.
Yeah. That
there are a lot of, like, fun variation. Like, they get to have their cake and eat it too by saying the R word without saying the R word.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is. I think we should talk for a minute about, like, who made the movie.
Oh yeah.
It was directed by
Karen Kusama, and written by Diablo Cody.
Diablo Cody being, like, the writer of a bunch of different movies, including, you know, Juno and Young Adult. I looked at her filmography, and one of the more recent films she wrote is called Lisa Frankenstein.
Oh yeah, I think I heard about
which
that one.
Supposedly takes place in quote unquote the same universe as Jennifer's Body.
Interesting.
Really? Wow. Yeah. But that is kind of funny.
Sure.
Karen Kusama. Her most recent thing is she is a director on Yellow Jackets, the TV show, and is a major creative part of that.
I guess another probably important thing to point out with her in particular is, like, I'm not sure if this is immediately after, but this is at the very least after the Aeon Flux movie.
Yes. Yeah.
Where, like, she started directing that, then she had it taken away, and then kind of, like, unceremoniously given back as, like, effectively the fall woman for this production.
That was a fucking disaster.
Yes, exactly.
As many things involving Aeon Flux is.
Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, I think, like, it was a really, it's a really interesting, you can tell that this movie was made by, or, like, the major, like, creative force behind it, or, like, two women.
Yes, oh, 100%.
Yeah. And
you can kind of, sorry, not to interrupt, you can see the studio meddling in the way that this movie is advertised versus, you know, what is actually in that movie.
Yeah.
The advertising was very much like
Megan Fox is hot.
Yes.
It's like, no. Like, yes, she is, but that's not the point of the thing that we're trying to sell.
You look at the cover of this and you're like, is this related to that movie, Teacher's Pet?
No, yeah. It's one of those things that you can look at and it, like, strikes you as, like, a, like, epic movie or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it stinks of, like, the advertising, the film advertising cycle of the time for anything that's, you know, lighthearted, per se.
Yeah.
I guess I could call this, like, lighthearted.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It is very, like, they mentioned the Evil Dead, like, by name in this movie, and I think that's not a coincidence. Like, I think that's the kind of movie that they were trying to make here.
Totally. Like, especially when you have that scene with Jennifer throwing up, like, the weird, like,
the weird ferrofluid.
Yeah.
And yeah, and, like, I think to talk about just, like, you know, the movie itself for a little bit is just, like, Jennifer is a very sad character.
Yeah.
Like, she's, like, girl who is given power over people and, like, kind of saddled with, like, this additional, like, condition on her existence that is not explained to her. And she only kind of, like, innately understands it.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, oh, I just know when I'm hungry, basically.
Yeah.
When I'm hungry, I turn into a little raccoon and crawl on all fours.
All fours and eat cute boys in the forest. But yeah, like, it is, I think it's a very cool movie because it feels like it's about how tough it is to be a young woman who, like...
To be a man-eater.
Yeah, yeah. Like, to have like, quote-unquote, power over people. But it is also something that people want.
Yes.
And, like, people... Something that you will be used for in order to, like, to get.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's a tragic movie, despite being very funny.
And you also get the flip side of that with Needy, where it's like you get that perspective of being, you know, the woman overlooked who, like, is essentially just kind of, like, thrust to the side because no one believes you on these things.
Yeah, just, like, just completely ignored when she tries to, like, tell people about what's going on and like explicitly tell, like, people will think you're crazy and then you'll be, like, dealt with.
Yeah, you're an average woman, so you are, for not being hot, you not only will not be taken seriously, you also will not be heard. Yeah. Like, just,
you will literally be thrown into a mental asylum.
Yeah,
like, she was. Like, that is the thing that happens, is she kills Jennifer, and, you know, understandably, Jennifer's mom, who we were surprised to find out that Jennifer had a mom in the first place, pops into the room and is like, wait, what the fuck are you doing? But yeah, she gets thrown into a mental asylum, but thankfully she got bit during the encounter and she, like, psychically floats up and kicks the window out of the...
I wonder if the way that whole ending part is, like, structured makes me wonder if it's just, like... If that was originally supposed to be there.
Yeah.
Like, if it was added after, like, after something.
After people were like, well, what happens to the band?
Well, I will say, we specifically watched the extended cut, and there were bits that I don't feel like I remembered from the initial viewing. Like, I don't feel like that opening and ending, like, was in the movie the first time we watched it.
I will say, I don't remember. It's been a bit.
Yeah.
But that does sound like something that might have been the case. We'll find that out. But yeah, like, I do love that she just goes and slaughters the band that put, you know, the girl through that the whole time. So, you know, there was at least that.
You could also just kind of point to how, like, finally confronting Jennifer, you know, is the moment of awakening for her.
Yeah.
Like, she's in turn freed from, you know, the prison of heterosexuality and goes and kills the band.
It's pretty great.
The second season of Prison Break, but it's okay because society is
we find out that society is the real prison that we're breaking free from.
Oh, and Lance Henriksen is in this movie, by the way.
Oh, right, yeah.
He shows up at the very end for, like, 10 seconds.
Like, hey, how's it going?
I'm Lance Henriksen. It seems like the ending is there regardless?
Okay. That part would make sense, at the very least, like, the ending still being in there. Because it would be weird to just have the movie end with, you know, just her stabbing Jennifer, mom coming in, be like, what the fuck? Credits roll.
Well, I think, like, my presumption was that it ended with, like, she levitates inside of her cell, like, that's where you end the movie.
Okay, gotcha.
The band getting killed is cathartic, but it also feels a little neat, I think.
Yes, I can agree with that. It feels good to see after they were such piece of shit, but...
Honestly, it's one of those things where it's like, Jennifer, you should just really murder those people.
I mean, she didn't know where they went to. Like, those guys left town after they did their sacrifice.
Didn't they come back, though?
Well, they came back eventually, but at that point she was already in her groove, so she didn't really give a shit who she was going after. And as far as she knows, like, they kind of did her a favor with what they, you know, with the power that they gave her. Like, the scene where she's burning her tongue and she's just like, I am a god.
Oh, yeah. Because it just immediately heals.
Yeah, exactly.
Real Bill Murray energy.
Oh, from Groundhog Day.
I'm a god. I'm not the god, but I
am a god.
That reminded me of the other scene where, like, when she's explaining to Needy what happened with everything when the band did that, and she was like, now it seems like I can't die. Check this out. And just, like, nonchalantly just carves a fucking huge hole in her all the way down her arm, and then it just heals.
Yeah, it's a gnarly visual.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
All right, but hey, I think we might be at the point where we're at final thoughts. Does that sound right?
I think so.
Okay, well, Brie, what are your final thoughts on this movie?
You know, I mean, I'm glad I picked this. It's been a while since I've seen it. I think it still really does hold up. It's a really fun watch, and it is just very gay, and it's very post 9/11, and it's very funny to look back on in so many different ways. But yeah, good queer cinema. Highly recommend.
Word. Evie?
Yeah, it was a really good watch. It made me want to go back and watch some of the other Diablo Cody movies around that time, like Young Adult. I'm glad I watched it, because I was the only one who had not seen it before.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I'm glad I did.
All right. Bridget, final thoughts?
Oh, yeah, it's a good movie, despite, you know, some of the questionable language.
I mean, I argue if they omitted anything even remotely like that, it would be really not true to its...
it would be dishonest.
Yeah.
If you say so.
We don't have to get into that conversation.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a nice movie. The effect of the CG sharp teeth mouth made me think of both the scene where Will Smith does that, and also the scene where the Rat King in The Nutcracker does that.
Okay. I'm not familiar, but I will take your word on
it. Neither of those things you listed am I familiar with. Anyways, my final thoughts on this movie is that it's really fun. Yeah. Like, it's not my favorite movie that we've watched this cycle, but, like, it is a... like, nice, fun movie to watch in a group.
Hell yeah.
Like, it's a damn good time, and I can easily recommend it on that front. But at this point, it's time for me to make a choice.
Oh boy.
Wow.
And I guess my choice involves a question for all of you. What is the most that you've ever lost in a coin toss?
Oh god. Am I the only one who knows what the stakes are here?
Yes.
Okay.
So I want you all to collectively choose heads or tails.
What coin are we flipping?
A quarter.
Okay, so the head's going to be heavier. More likely to land down by a tiny percentage.
I think it's marginal.
I will take those bets.
That's a marginal benefit, and I would rather go with Bird.
I'm just saying, Bird is most likely to land up.
I will say it's not Bird on this one. It's the Shenandoah Mountains.
It's less heavy.
From West Virginia.
We're going tails. What about you, Bridget? You good with tails?
Sure, it's tail time.
All right.
So, tails.
Tails.
Yes.
Okay.
Penny is a tail.
Ah, fuck. That didn't count.
That did not count. I don't even know where it went.
Neither do I.
There's it's no movie. Oh, no, wait, there we go.
It got stuck in my hoodie. Okay. Good news. It's
Yay!
Tails.
Okay. We're watching, I don't know what we were playing for, but sure.
We're watching Eddington.
Okay.
Chris Fogle, who worked in the... Let me get it pulled up here again. He was a music mixer / music recordist on Jennifer's Body in the 2025 film Eddington. He was a score recording and mixing engineer. Mm-hmm. So, next time, we're going to be talking about Ari Aster's 2025 film, Eddington.
You want to tell everyone what the other option was?
The other option was Dinner in America. And originally in my brain, the way I was thinking about it was like, that's the more closer to a wholesome choice of a movie.
I was really hoping for that one.
Initially, I was going to do If You Got It Right, we would watch Dinner in America. And at the last second in my brain, I was like, nah, I want to talk about Eddington next time.
I'm so mad.
Hey, they're both comedies. Yeah,
it's just like in the movie where it's just like, it doesn't matter what the coin says. You're going to kill me regardless.
See? Evie gets it.
Is this the movie you said I would have no connections to?
No. That was the Dinner in America choice.
Oh, okay, because I was confused.
Once again,
I was
making it the better choice, but...
I was waiting to see what this movie was that...
Because Eddington, you'll be able to connect something to it. I don't know if it's going to be anything that you're looking for, but you'll probably be able to connect something to it.
It's going
to
be a fucking discussion. God damn it.
I'm so excited to talk about Eddington because I watched this movie, like, earlier in the week, and I've not been able to stop thinking about this fucking movie.
Interesting. Okay.
So that is what we will discuss next time, and... I might be able to pull a guest on that because I know someone else who really, really liked that movie and might want to talk about it with us.
Yes.
If I can track them on. It might be someone that I promised as a guest on the last episode we did.
I see. All right.
Interested to hear their thoughts. But for now...
Yeah. Bree, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find my artwork over on Snesbo... vgen.co/Snesbo, A-S-N-E-S-B-O. You can also find me streaming sometimes on twitch.tv/EasyBreezyTV. That's EazyBreezyTV. Because someone took Easy Breezy TV, EASY, and will not give up the fuck anyway. But that's me. You can find me there. You can also find me under a Snesbo on Blue Sky. I occasionally post, like, you know, things I've drawn, commissions I'm working on, lewds of me. You can find it all there. Evie?
Well, no. The order next is Bridget.
Oh, sorry.
Where can
Bridget.
People find you online? Bridget.
You can find me at...
She's already looking up choices.
Go ahead. You can find me at twitch.tv/sasquatchless, where I'll...
Are you sleepy, honey? Do you need to take a nap?
Streaming something.
Great.
Awesome.
Evie, can people find you on the internet?
Nah.
Oh, that's great. People can find me on the internet, but I'm not going to tell them how, but I will tell them where to find the podcast. You can find that at putitonthelist.bsky.social, putitonthelist.neocities.com. org, White State Productions on YouTube, anywhere major podcasts are sold, patreon.com/wifecity.
Hey.
You can find us there. Share us with your friends. Give us a dollar.
If you want.
Yeah. Do what you want. I don't care. It's
Give them the hard sell. Give us some fucking money if you want.
There's Plunto, Water Planet. You can call it whatever you want. I don't know.
What? Plunto Water Planet?
It's Plunto. Rich power.
What the fuck are you talking about?
See,
the
rich folks, and, hope you all have a good...
The rich and powerful transphobes don't want you to give us a dollar, so if you do, they'll jump up and down on their hat like you're 70 Sam.
Watch out for the greedy gobbler.
But we've used connected by cast or crew deciding the next film, that's the gist. Put it on the list.